Cornerstone is a organization, and Shannon McGinley from the Greater Manchester Area Executive Director. I think it's just cornerstone.org if you want context or learn more. But Shannon's joining us.
Cornerstone Action.
Cornerstone Action, Shannon McGinley. And she's been involved in cornerstoneaction.org for many, many years. But Shannon, thank you. You have an event tomorrow at the State House. I talked in the last segment a little bit about the Parental Bill of Rights debate. We had the governor on a week or so ago. There's been one bill the House fell short on. There'll be others. But you have a guest in studio, a personal story. And I think when people get to meet and listen to someone in their own story versus special interest and talking points, maybe some of this hits home. And I want you to kind of tee this one up as only you can do, Shannon. Thanks for being in our Good Morning New Hampshire GMI studios.
Thanks, Jack. Good morning. It's great to be here. And I'm especially honored to be able to introduce Chloe Cole. She's an 18-year-old fighting to protect children. She was born a female and began puberty blockers at 13 and underwent a double mastectomy at 15. And despite all of this, Chloe still felt depressed. And Chloe then detransitioned and has been on a mission to protect children and their innocence ever since. And so we've got her in town this week, and she's going to be speaking at the Parental Rights Rally tomorrow at the State House at 9 a.m. And then she will be testifying at the State House on SB 272, the Parental Bill of Rights. And we've got her speaking. She's been invited by the Dartmouth Republicans group to speak at Dartmouth this evening at 6 o'clock. And so we're really thrilled to be able to have her here, Chloe.
Thank you, Shannon. Chloe, first of all, thank you for coming on the show this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Jack.
And you and I were talking before we went on. California's home.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Yeah, I'm in the Central Valley area in the San Joaquin Valley. I'm from Antigua.
Okay, originally, yeah. And now tell us about your story. I've never met you until today. You're coming in. Shannon just went over the list of things starting tonight. What is your story? What is your message? What do you want other kids and families to know from your own personal experience? Not someone else's, your story, your own experience. What's your message, if you will, tomorrow or tonight?
Yeah, so I'm somebody who actually went through a gender transition. I am a biological female, but starting at around the age of 12, I started feeling gender dysphoria, that I was actually a boy instead of a girl, and I started socially transitioning. And then at 13 was when I was put on the first few medical interventions, which for me, it started with puberty blockers, and then a month after that, I was put on testosterone. And just 2 years after that, just after my sophomore year, when I was 15 years old, was when I underwent a double mastectomy, meaning that my breasts had been removed. And it was only a matter of time after that that I started to feel the regret of transition set in. And I realized that transition was causing more harm than it was helping me. And I stopped transitioning at the age of 16. And I've just been speaking out about my experience of transitioning as a kid since last year. And why I've been speaking out, I really want to highlight that this is something that is never, under any circumstance, appropriate for children. I mean, it was something that interfered with my natural development, and it's very likely that I would have just grown out of this feeling of gender dysphoria naturally and settled into my biological sex had none of this happened.
Well, you kind of answered my question, because I was going to ask you, do you feel in hindsight, as you get older, that the underlying reasons for what you were feeling, whether it was depressed, down, had little to do with gender? Or is that what you feel now or not?
Yeah, I had a lot of underlying issues that just weren't addressed throughout before my transition and throughout the duration of it. And some even appeared while I was in the middle of transitioning.
And you were how old when this started? You said 15?
13.
13. Is part of your message, Chloe, because the last thing I want to do here, believe me, the J-Dog will attest to this, I don't want to put any thoughts or words in your mouth. I want this all from you, because that's why you're here. You just feel like you were too young to kind of go through this? Is that too simplistic, or is that part of this?
Absolutely.
But maybe as an adult, you might have been in a better position to kind of navigate this.
Yeah, but while I don't think that this is ever appropriate for people under the age of 18, even that once you hit 18, most people won't be able to really understand what they're doing to themselves if you give them this option. I think that there are some adults who may benefit from this treatment, but that being said, doctors aren't really giving their patients, whether they are adults or children, the information that they need to be able to make an informed decision on this.
Do you feel, or in your case, again, I'm just asking questions, do you feel like some encouraged you to go through this and maybe in hindsight you didn't need to or not? Is it something you wanted to do?
Yeah. I mean, nobody really, I wouldn't really say that anybody pushed me into it. I wasn't really directly interacting with anybody in the trans community at the time that I started. And it wasn't something that I was introduced to at school or through classmates. It was entirely through the internet for me. But I had very skewed information on transitioning. Like, the research that I had done on it, the information that I got on it was from both the trans community, which is very biased towards transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
And even from official medical resources, including from my own healthcare provider, push transitioning as really the only means of treating gender dysphoria, and this narrative that people who identify as trans actually are the sex or the gender that they identify as, which isn't true, but I fell into the belief that somehow I actually was a boy and that I was just like any other boy my age and that my body needed to reflect that. And that's why I was pushing for this so hard. I thought of this as a condition. Mm-hmm. And this being the treatment for it.
Mm-hmm.
And none of my doctors had really pushed back on this belief.
Wow. Well, thank you, first of all, for coming here and having the courage to tell your story and tonight and tomorrow. As they say in life, I'm blessed with having kids, and parenting's hard. Families are hard. We were talking about it earlier in the show, and I'm kind of like the Allstate ad. I've seen a few things. I want people to be happy and healthy. That's the way I am. But I always feel that someone's personal story versus someone who's politically involved in a process is good to hear. It's refreshing because it's your story. It's your story of you, who you are as a person. And I think that speaks volumes. So thank you for having the courage to tell your story. What I'm hearing a little bit, Chloe Cole, is you were young and you think other kids maybe, I want you to say it, not me, or maybe too young, or families, if a kid's 12 or 13, it might be young to go through this, and you might regret it. And you're also saying, for the feelings you had, and I've always felt, by the way, I do a lot of veteran advocacy, and I work with people and try and explain things like PTSD and all that. And I try to say, look, if you feel something, it's real to you. It might not be real to someone next to you, but if you're feeling something, it's real. So you're saying there might have been other things to help you with your feelings than the physical surgeries at the time, which you think you were too young, and now I'm hearing regret?
Absolutely.
Is that kind of fair?
Yeah. And I don't think the most harmful thing about these interventions was the regret, even. Like, it's caused me a lot of distress, a lot of trauma to have gone through this, especially at such a young age. But it's also caused real physical damage to my body, which... it's only been about 2 years afterward. I can't really fully appreciate the damages yet because I'm so young. I don't know whether I'll be able to have kids after being on these treatments.
How old are you now, if you mind my asking?
I'm 18. I'll never be able to breastfeed now that I don't have breasts.
Well, that makes sense. Let me ask you this, Chloe. I always like to also ask, and I speak to your courage, Chloe. You don't have to go to Dartmouth tonight or go to the State House tomorrow. You're doing it because you want to maybe help other kids or families?
Absolutely.
Why not have been more selfish about this? Keep to yourself, just live your life. What's sort of compelling you to want to help others?
Just knowing that there's other people out there, especially other kids who are suffering through what I have, and that they're at risk of going through the exact same course of treatment that I was. That's enough to keep me going. But when I initially stopped transitioning, and I was speaking about my own experience on my personal social media, I was ostracized by the trans community, and I lost a lot of friends both from school and from within the trans community.
Do you feel like you were bullied?
Absolutely. I mean, they told me I was getting harassed pretty badly, and I heard things like, well, you weren't a real transgender person. your experience isn't valid because you're a very rare subset of the population. Most trans people who transition are happy about the transition, and this benefits most people, most dysphoric people.
So if you don't, if you don't fit the narrative, they don't want you to have a voice.
Right, right. And I was told, like, in transitioning as somebody who wasn't a real transgender person, I stole their resources. And some of them even said, like, I didn't deserve doctors, I didn't deserve parents or a family who cared enough to let me go through these interventions at the age that I was, and that I needed to just stay quiet because...
How did you handle that? I mean, there must have been a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah, they...
I mean, I imagine you also got support, too. You just balance it? I mean, how did you, at a young
age, kind
of navigate
all this? I mean, initially,
I really
didn't get any of the support that I needed, even from my own doctors. I had to figure out my own transition pretty much, detransition pretty much all on my own.
Where are you drawing the strength from? Because this would be hard for anyone I can think of to, all these people coming at you and you're going through this. I mean, how do you navigate this?
Yeah. I think over time, I've made new friends, and my relationship with my family has gotten a lot better because by transitioning, I was putting a lot of stress on my parents and my family, and my relationship with a lot of my family members, including some of my siblings, really, really suffered. But as I've just come to terms with being myself and living without lying to myself, I think as I've healed physically and emotionally over time, it's helped me to recuperate my relationship with my family. And when I stopped transitioning, a little while afterward, I started getting into contact with other people who have had experiences quite like mine. Like, they had been through either a social or a medical transition. And just hearing their stories, it was really refreshing to, it was a nice change from the trans community, which is very... You couldn't really speak outside the narrative, and even while I was transitioning, I was called things like transphobe or a TERF, or like I would
degrading terms. Or
yeah,
right, yeah,
because labeling. Because I labeling. Yeah because I didn't yeah. I didn't go along with the narrative.
Right. Right.
But it was also kind of healing just to know like I wasn't the only one out there who has been through this.
Oh, that's a problem I think in life, whether it's someone going through something, you don't want to feel like you're on an island and you're the only one. But too often we do, right? We isolate. You kind of then you turn inward and you don't realize there's other people going through something,
right.
Maybe even
right.
worse.
Yeah, but it was also terrifying knowing that.
Yeah,
like there's other people who have been through what I have. They have the exact same pain as me.
Yeah.
What am I going to do about this? Like, I feel like I need to do something about this,
right?
Because this can't go on.
Chloe Cole, thank you so much for gracing us with your time here and the strength and the courage. And is there a, I'm not probably the, you know, all the different social medias and platforms, or is there a safe, good place people can learn more about you and contact you in a positive way, or do you have a home site and all that?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram and Twitter. My main platform is Twitter, though. My username on both those platforms is C-H-O-O-O, that's a triple O, C-O-L-E.
All right, Chloe. Thanks. And off to Dartmouth tonight, State House tomorrow.
Yep.
Hey, thanks, sir. It's an honor to meet you. I appreciate, again, sharing your own story. It takes a lot, and thank you for the strength. Thank you very much.
Thank you.